Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon, and I would like to welcome a first-time guest on this podcast, but she's been on a podcast before. She's been on Catalyst Stories, so you might have heard her story and her share about some of the things that have been going on in her life previously, but it's her first time on Engage to Flourish, and it's just a very much a privilege for me to have her on this episode because we just got a lot of stuff to talk about because we're both runners and just ran the Boston Marathon, and I just got a lot of stuff to kind of pepper her with. But welcome to the show, Ann Chen. Welcome, Ann.
Hi.
All right, so Ann is actually, most people would not know this, but Ann is actually a Team World Vision legend. And it's like official. It's like the actual title that she carries. She's a Team World Vision legend because of the work that she's done with Team World Vision and raising money to help kids get water in places that it's very difficult to get water. So, Anne, can you share a little bit about your journey with Team World Vision and like what qualifies you to be a Team World Vision legend?
What qualifies to be a Team World Vision legend is having personally raised over $50,000 in your lifetime. And then, because there's like legacy where you're like 10,000 for one event, but legend would be over a lifetime. And I've currently, just with my own personal efforts and on all the people that God enabled me, or God enabled to donate to my fundraising pages, have raised close to $80,000, close, 79 something.
I mean, that just blows my mind, right? Like that blows my mind. So the way that Team World Vision works is Team World Vision partners with people to raise funds to help with water projects. And they do it by having people run different races, right? So Anne has been participating in half marathons and raising money through her efforts with the half marathons. And man, almost $80,000. That just blows my mind because when Team World Vision kind of pitches it to people, they say that, you know, for every $50, you're supplying a kid with water for their lifetime, right? And so we were kind of doing the math earlier, right? So for $80,000, that's like 1,600 children that are getting water for a lifetime just because of what Anne has done. Like, that is amazing. How did you get started with Team World Vision, Anne?
Our church, Catalyst Christian Community, we met this person named Don Lee, who God orchestrated a meeting with Don and Damon and you, Damon and Sam Lee, back in 2015. And then he came to speak to our church and all about what World Vision does. He started the very first Team World Vision Long Beach to help with where the event was the Long Beach half or the marathon. It's really hard to say full marathon because a marathon isn't, anyway. But yeah, so back in 2015, which is a really hard one, and I know all the people at our church that did it. Sorry that you all got like PTSD because it was like 100 degree weather, yeah, unusual for really October. I know we all agreed to start. The race director actually, it was the only year that they let us half marathoners start with the marathoners because they knew it was going to be 100 degrees.
Which the half marathon usually starts at 7:30 in the morning, yeah. And the full marathon starts at
6:30.
So they allowed the half marathoners to start early just because they knew it was going to be super hot.
Yeah. So it started in 2015, and I just kept going for the next 12 years and counting.
Yeah, that's amazing that you've continued on. Because, I will confess that I only did the first year. So out of the 12 years that you've done it, I did one. And yeah, so it's interesting because, you know, for that whole scenario, even us getting started with Team World Vision, a lot of it stemmed from my personal desire to run the Boston Marathon, right? And so Ann had mentioned that God kind of orchestrated a meeting with myself and Pastor Sam and Don, who was the pastor at another church at the time. And Pastor Sam and I were helping out at their retreat, and their church was actually doing the LA Marathon for Team World Vision. And I was running the LA Marathon personally to try to qualify for Boston, which I didn't qualify at the time. I think that was 2014. And then after that, Don moved over to Team World Vision. And then he said, oh, can you help me get something started in Long Beach? And it's like, oh, our church is in Long Beach. I think we can get a bunch of people from our church to do it. And then after that first year, Ann just carried the torch for the future. And yeah, she's, I mean, like I said, 1,600 kids now have water for the rest of their lives because just of the efforts of what Ann has done. Like, that is pretty incredible. So, Ann, like, as you've been on this journey of, like, you know, partnering with Team World Vision on these marathons and things like that, how do you, like, for yourself, do you feel, like, extra, like, encouragement or extra, like, sense of accomplishment? Because, you know, for a lot of people, just finishing a marathon or a half marathon is a big deal. But you're doing this, and you're also doing it to help these kids. Like, do you feel like there's anything extra for you and for yourself?
I think like I might have shared in the previous podcast, the Catalyst Stories, that I never really liked running when I was younger. And even though I've done 14 marathons, 26.2 distance in my life, 12 out of the 14 were with raising money for a nonprofit. Because I realized I don't think I would train and run on my own. The first one was encouraged by Connie Kuhn at Cerritos, when we were at Cerritos Baptist Church. The very, very first one. I still don't really like running, but I think I include running because it would take me forever to walk a marathon or a half marathon. So you have to run a little bit, just be a little fast. Just so you're not like, I've never been last. So it's kind of good. But I don't really like, yeah, I still don't really like running, but knowing there's a greater purpose and there's a reason, it like changes if you have to pivot because your training didn't go as well for a half marathon or a marathon. And so it just gives me a different purpose of, okay, I'm not doing this for myself. I do have my own personal, like, I wish I could finish a half marathon in under 3 hours. In the time that you finished a marathon, I want to do a half marathon in under 3 hours. But then God kind of reminds me of there's a different reason why. Mm-hmm. It's not that it's good to still have a personal goal, but he kind of always reminds me like that there's a greater purpose. Mm-hmm. I want people donated because you said you were going to do this event, mm-hmm. not because you're going to get under 3 hours. You're going to do the event. Mm-hmm. So it just gives me more purpose.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, one of the things that I feel like is really incredible also is that, you know, you just mentioned that you don't necessarily like running, but you actually have taken like Pastor Barry's mini habits class to the extreme. And this was even before he started teaching this class. But so can you share a little bit about your at least 1 mile a day thing?
Yeah. So in December, New Year's Eve, 2019, a friend of mine in my run club, she was already doing at least 1 mile a day challenge, whether you run or walk and so I decided, oh, that's a good goal to try for 2020. Not knowing about COVID or anything. Mm-hmm. So I did. And so starting January 1st, 2020, I did at least run or walk at least 1 mile every day, except for a brief short time in 2023 when I had to have surgery and I was kind of down for 3 days. But then I have resumed since then. And it's just kind of become a habit to the point where if I hadn't done it by like 11 p.m., I'll actually go and walk around my neighborhood to get the mile, the 20-minute walk in, just so I could say, okay, 1 mile's done. And I actually have even done it around inside the house, which is really hard to do because my house is not as big as you think. Like, there's a lot of circles in my house.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. So basically, other than the time that you had surgery, which was 3 days, you have been walking or running at least 1 mile every day since the beginning of 2020.
Right.
That's incredible. But, you know, I think it just highlights some of the things that Pastor Barry is talking about. Like, if we can find something that we can say we're going to do at least this amount and make it... Okay, a mile is not small. I don't want to say a mile is small, but make it something that's small and something that you know you can do, then that can build a habit. Because you're doing more than 1 mile a lot of those days too. It's not just 1 mile every day.
Yes.
It's a lot of those days is more, right? So, but for most of the days, it's like at least 1 mile,
right.
At least 1 mile, right? And so, you know, in Pastor Barry's mini habits class, he talked about things like, you know, what's the minimum that he could do? So, you know, he used his example of the burpees, right? I'm supposed to do burpees to strengthen his back. And he would do at least one burpee every day, right? And a lot of days, most days, he did more than one, right? But how many of those types of things can we apply to our spiritual life, right? Like, I will do at least read one verse or, you know, and then when we're sitting there reading that one verse, oh, I feel good. I'll keep going. And, you know, how many times does just the act of taking that first step make a big deal, right? Like
right.
For runners, a lot of times it's like getting out the door is a lot of times the hardest part, right?
Right.
For me, that's definitely the hardest part is getting out the door every day. So yeah, that's why I'm just amazed that, and for the last 5.5 years, you have got out the door every day. Okay. Or walked around your house, but you've gone at least 1 mile every day. Like that just, I personally can't even fathom that. Okay, I'm not going to lie either. I didn't even get out the door this morning. So so yeah, just I'm super impressed and super amazed, but just how we can take some of those things into our spiritual life as well. And I think that's why you shared you actually ended up taking Pastor Barry's mini habits class too, right? Even though you were kind of doing some of these things, like you wanted to take it because so can you share a little bit about that? Like what led you to taking his class, even though you were already doing some of these things?
So when the class first came up, I was like, oh, I can't take it because I was taking the emotional healthy relationship class they were both at the same time. So then I thought, oh, well. But then it happened to come up again in the morning. I was like, oh, that's a really boot camp because I have a hard time getting to church on time unless I'm serving as a greeter. But I'm like, okay, but I'm going to do it because I feel like I really want to. I feel like I needed to take the class because I was good at the mini habits from a physical standpoint, like with your physical like fitness. But then spiritually, I didn't. I was like, I'm not, I guess, consistent spiritually. Mm-hmm. Like I'll journal a little and then take that back. I guess I have been doing Bible study fellowship for a long time. Mm-hmm. So I was pretty consistent. But then from May to beginning in August, my Bible's only open at church and sometimes not because we use our phones or the scriptures
on the screen.
so it gets really dusty in the summer. So then I noticed that, like, it had to be God because he was prompting me to say, how come you can only be consistent in this one area, but your spiritual life is, I don't know if more important is the right word to say, but it's more important than the physical life because that's where you connect with God mm-hmm. spiritually, and that's your spiritual health. So then I was like, okay, when it comes up, even though it's a boot camp, it's going to be really hard to be there at 8:30, but I'm going to do it because I feel like God wants me to focus on the spiritual health.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the practice or the discipline I have physically will help in the spiritual.
Mm. Have you seen any changes for yourself as you've been more intentional about trying to, you know, yeah, just be intentional about your spiritual health?
Yeah, I think I have, because in the mini habits, my goal was just, it was to journal, but then Pastor Barry told us we had to pick the smallest, ridiculously smallest like thing you can do in one day. So I just said, okay, open journal. Mm. Like, I didn't say write in journal. I just opened it. So like, and it's true. You open it like, well, I have some time. I might as well journal, or I might as well read the verse that's on top of the journal that they, cause I have a lot of gift. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of journals were given to me. So a lot of the Christian journals have like a little verse, like, mm-hmm. oh, guess I'll read the verse. Oh, we might as well. So then it did. But there are some days where I'm like, oh, I'm rushing. I'm just going to open. Because yeah. that's all I have to do, just open. But yeah, and then I think just being obedient with that, and then knowing that God is the one that kind of encouraged me to take the boot camp, mm-hmm. and pick that goal, I started to like listen to him differently, like, mm-hmm. and like whether it's in small group or whether it's like praying on my own, it just changed the way I thought of things.
I think that's a perfect segue into, you know, the season that we've been in the last few weeks. I know we haven't had an episode of the podcast, but the last few weeks, Pastor Ross and Pastor Barry have been talking about renewing our mind, right? And so Pastor Ross was giving a lot of examples of just ways that we can, well, one, what the renewed mind looks like, and then practical ways that we can step into that. And then this past week, Pastor Barry as well talked about what it looks like for us to live with a renewed mind. And so it was really cool at our staff meeting this week. Ross was kind of bragging on Anne a little bit and saying like, oh, Anne she's growing so much. Like, as I've been talking about this renewed mind stuff, like her mind is totally being renewed. And I was like, oh, that's perfect, because Anne's coming on the podcast. So yeah. So you shared a little bit about how, like, as you've been more intentional about stepping into your spiritual health and focusing on that, the Lord has been renewing your mind. Can you share some examples of the ways that you have been seeing your mind being renewed?
I think it started when our small group was going through this study called The Forgotten Way.
Yeah, okay, good. The Forgotten Way.
Okay.
That's a book written by Ted Decker. Yeah.
Yeah. And when we first started, it was kind of hard because I was like, this guy's thinking is really different. Mm. But then, you know, Ross and Ida really, they felt really strongly that they want our small group to go through it. So we pushed along. And I think my mind really started then, because it started with where we've been, where Catalyst has been focused on for the past 17 or 18, about our identity, mm-hmm. of who we are in Christ, and then the importance of that. And so just knowing that Jesus' Spirit's already in us, and mm-hmm. we're supposed to live as if He's in us already.
Mm-hmm.
It just gave my mind a different thinking. Like, mm-hmm. I was, well, then how are we supposed to evangelize? Do we need to evangelize? Because, you know, God already picked who everyone is going to. But then just thinking of different ways of evangelizing, mm-hmm. or just thinking of your different faith events differently.
Mm-hmm.
Like when a couple weeks ago, when DM was sharing that she got healed from watching the video of the Bible challenge.
The contestant on the Bible challenge.
And she got healed. And then right after, Pastor Ross said, "So did everyone think that was weird?" And I think in the past, prior to studying the Forgotten Way, I probably would have thought it was weird. But my first thought was, no, that's actually really cool, because that could happen, because, you know, God is big, way bigger. So that's, I mean, he can use anything. So I guess my faith increased just knowing that, it totally makes sense, because God's in us, and then he can do healing, you know, miraculously. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. So that book has helped you to shift. Yes. Are there other things that you feel like have kind of helped in your journey of living out this renewed mind, like your small group or?
Yeah, I think that just hearing different testimonies of God being faithful to people or miraculous healings has really helped me shift my thinking into seeing God differently.
Mm. What do you feel like is the biggest change in the way that you see God?
Just that he, I guess, is personable, and then he's not such a distant God to, like, okay, I created all my people, and people go do your own thing, but like he really interacts with us daily.
Yeah, that's a really cool shift, right? Because I think there's a lot of people out there that feel like God is like often, God is in heaven and I'm here, and there's this big chasm between the two of us. But it's cool to see that the ways that the Lord has been reshaping and reframing your mind is to say, like, no, I'm close. I'm here. I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
And for me personally, I feel like that's a lot of my experience with running myself has been the sense of like, no, God is here. God is with me. Like, and a lot of it for me too is because I am so disconnected from all of my, you know, technology and everything else. And a lot of times when I'm running, I'm by myself. And so it's a time for me to be able to connect with the Lord and feel close with him. And so it's cool to see that you're having that sense of intimacy in other places too.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like there have been any other significant shifts for you as you've been renewing your mind?
I think just that just having boldness when you're praying, even if you don't see the answer right away, but just still pray boldly that you know God hears you. So, and you know, if it's in line with what God's word says, that there will be a result, even if we may not know what it is.
So do you feel like in the past when you've had that sense of like God being distant, that was a hindrance to you being able to pray boldly?
Yes.
I think that's one of the reasons that, you know, this past Sunday, Pastor Barry focused on identity again in our renewed mind, but then he also focused on intimacy, right? And so he did this little lab time. We haven't done lab time in a long time at our church, but, you know, when we first started Catalyst, that used to be something we would do pretty regularly, is we would have a lab time, because, you know, one of the reasons that Pastor Barry started Catalyst was because he wanted to have a congregation that is actively seeking and experiencing the Holy Spirit. And so we would do all these different lab time activities where we're trying to seek the Holy Spirit and experience his presence and his touch and, you know, just get more familiar with Holy Spirit. So this past Sunday, he brought back lab time. And in the lab time, he gave each person a mirror. And then he had us basically speaking into ourselves. But then there were times where he had us asking the Lord, like, how do you see me, God? Yeah, right? And so, right. So trying to help us to understand like the intimacy. And so it's cool to see that in your relationship, as you have felt, you know, more close to the Lord and having that intimacy, that it's come out in different ways, like being able to pray more boldly or being able to kind of step out in faith in other ways. So for you, how do you feel like, do you feel like there's, do you have any examples of you like actually stepping out in faith in other ways? Not necessarily like being evangelistic or anything, but just like that you feel like the Lord has like kind of impressed something on your heart and you've been able to, okay, I'm going to step out.
Yeah, I don't think it was in January, I can't remember, of this year, where maybe it was just Pastor Dean shared.
We did have a healing service in January.
But then there was a one where they had a bunch of people up and they were praying to impart other people to pray.
Mm.
And then they said whoever wanted to come up to be able to pray for other people for healing or something, you can come up. And so then I remembered, I'm like, I kind of felt a nudging to come up. And so I went up and Liz was praying over me and I don't really remember exactly what she prayed for, but had something to do with to have boldness and imparting like that ability to go pray for someone else. And then I kind of used it right away when I went to Disneyland after that afternoon and someone was sharing that their leg was in pain. And then in the past, I'd be like, okay, I'll pray for you, but not like later. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
But because there's just, like in part, I'm like, oh, I can practice now. So then, like, they told us to practice now. So then, I actually did. Like, whereas before, I'd be like, no, I'll just pray for you. Yeah,
yeah.
Like most people probably do. So I actually said, I'm gonna pray for you. And then so I prayed, and I didn't really know him very well. He was like a friend of someone that I did know better. So then after I remember, they said, oh, we're supposed to have people test it. So are you still in pain? He goes, well, I actually went on a lot of pain pills, so I wasn't really in pain before. So like, oh, now what am I supposed to do? But but then I said, okay, well, I'll just keep praying for you. And then could tell your friend if the pain diminished or anything like that. And then that was the first time. And then I did it a couple weeks after with someone else. And then that person actually said, oh, the area that you touched, it went away, but the pain shifted like somewhere else. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. I think just from just that one part, my mind was switched to thinking, okay, we're just going to pray now. And then instead of like pray directly, because I would never have done that before. I would never have the boldness to immediately pray.
No, that's awesome to see. Yeah, I mean, just like kind of your whole journey of going from like this sensing that God is far away and then also being intentional about like shifting some of your habits and now experiencing more of the intimacy and then how that has now played out into like a more bold faith to be able to step out into these different things. Like, that's awesome. You know, it really reminds me of like actually running a marathon, because, you know, in a marathon, there's times where it's like you feel really good and there's times where you feel really like, oh man, this is a struggle, or, you know, and so there's times where, you know, things are going great. There's times where you're hurting. There's times where you feel like you need some encouragement. There's times where you feel like you need a little bit of coaching or a little bit of somebody just, just to say good job or keep going. And, you know, and I feel like kind of the journey that you've been on, it's like, it really parallels like a marathon. Like, you have to be intentional about like the training. You have to be intentional about, you know, getting out there to get ready for the marathon. And then when you're on the course, you know, you have people cheering you on, you have people out there, the volunteers giving you water, giving you the gels or the food or just different things, or the spectators on the side, and how that encourages us to keep going and to keep putting that step in front of the other, even when it's hard, and to see like how you're overcoming the way that you would have done it in the past, and how the Lord has been renewing your mind and shifting. It's really cool to see, like, man, like, you are different.
Yeah, I didn't, never really how different. But being in Ross and Ida small group, and Ross kind of points it out a lot.
Yeah, I think that's something that's really cool about just the way that our church has been operating is, you know, like, we don't want to just talk about it on Sunday morning, but, you know, it's Brett's kind of catchphrase, right? It's like, don't just talk about it, be about it, right? And so it's like, Pastor Ross isn't just talking about the renewed mind on Sunday morning because he's got to give a message, right? But he's in the small group even just like encouraging us and providing the resources that will help us to have this renewed mindset, right? Like bringing the Forgotten Way book, like, to your small group and having you guys go through that and how that has been kind of instrumental in this shifting. And then, you know, the encouragement that he's been giving to say, like, what does this actually look like in real life and not just kind of theoretical, but like trying to encourage us to take these things to, you know, our daily life. Like, you know, that's something that I really appreciate about, you know, our church and the direction that we're going is like, yeah, we don't want to just talk about these things. We want to see what it actually looks like to live it out. And, you know, that's what you've been doing. And it's cool to see. So for you, Anne, like, how do you feel like what do you want to see the Lord doing in this season in your life coming up? Like, as you've been living out this new renewed mind, like, do you have any kind of sense of like where the Lord is going to take it?
No, but I think I'm just excitedly, not exciting. I can't think of the right word. Like, excited to see how God is going to use just our whole church and our individual, and then me individually, just how he's going to use me.
Yeah, I think it's, like, to me, even just being on the podcast today, it's, like, evident that the Lord is making a shift, because you have been one of the most loyal listeners to the podcast since we started. Like, regularly you'll come talk to me about something that we shared on the podcast, and you know, it's like, man, Anne is listening to every single episode, which is really cool. And it's really encouraging for me as, you know, the podcast host. But it's interesting because you actually came to me and approached me to come on this episode, you know, and it was from a prompting that you felt like from the Holy Spirit. Can you share a little bit about that story? Because, you know, like I said, you've been loyal listener for a long time and you never said anything to me about like, hey, one day I'd like to come on or anything, right? And so even for you to approach me and to say like, hey, I think I'm supposed to come on the podcast, I feel like that's a big step of faith for you to even kind of go to that place. Can you share a little bit about that?
I enjoy listening to the podcast and I'm really excited that it's been going on for over 200 episodes.
Yeah, so this is episode 201, right? So you get to be the first episode of the 200.
Because I was in a small group with Megan Deguchi, and I forgot her. I always forget her new married name. Begins with an M. But anyway, Megan Deguchi, when she first brought it up with you four years ago, and then we were in a small group, so we've been very supportive, the women in the small group. So I was like, when she first told us, oh, I'm going to try this thing with Dave, okay, I'll support it. Like, just let me figure out how to, you know, like, listen to it and stuff like that, because I don't have an iPhone. So I've been a loyal listener. And the first time the idea came was when I was talking to Brandon Hojo, and I went up to compliment him, like, oh, you and Richard, you guys have such good podcast voices, and it's really enjoyable to listen to. And then he goes, you should do it. No, I'd rather just listen to you guys. So I think that was the first one. And then the second thought where it came up that I might want to try it, but then I wasn't sure, was when Richard and Juliana were on. And mm-hmm. then Juliana said she was nervous in the beginning, but then she really enjoyed it. And then to the point where she wanted to invite her friend to come. So then I thought, oh, yeah, I guess there's normal to be nervous. So then, but I still was like, no, I don't want to. Because what would I talk about? So then, and then when Trisha, the chica, came on and she just started, I forgot what she said. I think she was sharing about the healing service or something, her experience. And then it seemed like so natural and like, oh, I guess like having a conversation. So then I thought, oh, okay, maybe we can talk about marathons since we both have done mm-hmm. a marathon.
Yeah. So, I mean, even in that, it's like, man, and you are living out of a different, a renewed mind, right? Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, to take that step to say, like, I want to come on the podcast. Like, that was significant. So I was like, yes, we need to have you come on. And I think the timing was perfect because, you know, being able to come on right after I finished the Boston Marathon this past weekend. And I just want to give a shout out and a thank you to all of the people in our church who, you know, helped support me financially with, you know, we were raising money to for Boston Children's Hospital because they have a lab there that the Brineys have been taking Maddox to because he has KIF1A. It's a neurological disorder, right? And so we were trying to raise money for the lab to continue to do research and to help find a cure for KIF1A. And so, yeah, just our church is so generous. And so just want to say a big thank you. And I'll probably do it again because I'm speaking this Sunday. So I'll probably do it again on Sunday just because I feel so appreciative of our church. And, you know, one of the things that kept coming to mind when I was on the course was, you know, the verses in Hebrews where it talks about, you know, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Like, I definitely experienced that on the course in Boston, you know, one, because I've never been in a race where there have been so many people cheering on the side. Like the whole course was lined with people from start to finish. Like there were no gaps. There were just people everywhere. So just physically that, but then just having the sense of like, no, all the people at our church that are praying for me, that help to support our cause, man, I just feel so like surrounded by support. You know, and that just brought those verses to life for me while I was on the course. And so, yeah, I just really appreciate our church and, you know, thank you to everyone. You guys are so generous. And, you know, Anne, you were one of the people that was supporting too. And just personally just want to say thank you for, you know, supporting. And yeah, I just felt very covered over there. And, you know, it was actually going into this race earlier this year, it was a struggle for me personally because I was dealing with a hip injury until the end of February. Oh, wow. And so, you know, at the beginning of the year, Pastor Barry had told us that Dean was coming. I was like, okay, maybe I'll have them pray for my hip. Right. And so I had a session with them and I was kind of sharing with them like, yeah, I got this Boston Marathon thing coming up and my hip's been bothering me. It's been really hard for me to run. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do. But I need to do it because I had already committed to, you know, partnering with Boston Children's Hospital. I'd already made this commitment. So it's like, I'm going to go. I'm going to do it. But I don't know how I'm going to feel because I haven't been able to train the way that I want to. And Hannah gave me a word and she said, you know, I feel like this is going to be your best race ever. Wow. And, you know, in the moment, it's like, I want to receive that, but okay, the only way for that to happen is it has to be God. And then as the race kept getting closer, the things, just recognizing the ways that the Lord had kind of aligned everything up, I really do feel like it was my best race ever. You know, I finished under the time that I wanted, my goal time. I felt the support of our church and, you know, all the people that were surrounding it. You know, if this, I had previously qualified actually to run the race in 2023, but I got hurt. So I didn't participate in that one. But, you know, at that time, I wouldn't have been able to partner with Boston Children's Hospital to support, you know, Maddox and, you know, helping to raise funds for KIF1A. Like, it's actually 2026 is actually 25 years after my first marathon, which was in 2001, right? And it's just like all of these different things that kind of lined up that it was like, oh my gosh, this was just such an incredible way for the Lord to line everything up. It's like, wow, I couldn't have planned it better myself. But, you know, and to even just to say like some of the stuff like the Team World Vision thing, that was a part of my journey. It was kind of a down part of my journey because I got injured that year too, you know, and that one was pretty close to the race start day or the race day that I got injured. And so, yeah, just to see like this journey to run the Boston Marathon has been a marathon in itself. But in the midst of that, it was like the Lord lined everything up timing wise. And yeah, just his timing was incredible. And I couldn't have lined it up better myself. So, yeah. So, Anne, do you have any last words that you'd like to leave our listeners with before we sign off?
I guess the only thing I would say is like to when you sense God speaking to you in whatever form that might be, because I know it's different for everybody. To just obey, just to do it, or as Brett would say, just be about it. because it, I guess in the past I would normally like you try arguing and like no, I don't want to. I don't. You go back and forth, but then you ultimately we lose because God is bigger, and so there's a reason why He wants us to do things that we may not want to do. I think I even heard. So I forgot where I learned it from. I heard some teaching about where, like, if it's something you don't want to do, and you sense God wants you to do it, it's usually a good sign that it is God telling you that you want, like, that is what I want you to do. Because usually, sometimes He does make us do things that we don't humanly want to do ourselves. So I think I would just say, just when you sense God telling you, just do it. Don't fight it.
She's the Nike ad. Just do it. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. You know, and, you know, we trust the Lord, but then we also recognize there is an enemy that's an adversary, and he doesn't want us to step into the things that the Lord has for us. So sometimes when we don't want to do it, there's external pressure there to not want to do it because the enemy doesn't want us to step into those things because he knows what's going to happen. And so he's going to try to put the pressure on us to say no to the Lord. But it's been cool to see that as you've been more intentional about seeking the Lord, about, you know, recognizing your spiritual health and growing and stepping into that, like just the ways that the Lord has been renewing your mind. And yeah, some of the things that you've been stepping out in, it's like, it's awesome. It's awesome. And even the things that you were doing before, like, man, I, like I said, I am still blown away that you have raised $80,000 for Team World Vision to help 1,600 kids have water. And man, I can just imagine when we get to heaven one day and all those kids are going to be like, man, like, thank you for what you did. You didn't know us, but you stepped out in faith and you asked people to support. And, you know, like, that's hard for a lot of people. Asking people for money, that's not an easy thing. But you did it because you felt like the Lord was leading you to it. And now all these kids are able to have clean water and that weren't able to have it before. So just, yeah, I always want to give you props, Anne, for just your discipline and your dedication just to, you know, like I said, get out the door. It's the hardest part, but you do it. And so I think that can be an encouragement to us all as we take the easiest, most simplest steps in our spiritual life, right? Even if it's just like, I'm just going to open my journal today. Like, and how many of those days that we open our journal do we end up writing in it too? So just thank you for being an encouragement and being a real life practical application for us to see what it looks like for us to take some of those mini habits and make some of those shifts and then what the Lord can do with it. So thanks again, Anne, for coming on. We always love to have you back on. But I know. It's going to be, if the Lord prompts you to do it, then you'll then you'll step into it. But
right.
Until then, you'll just enjoy listening.
Definitely.
So thanks again for coming on.
Thank you.
All right. So thanks to all our listeners out there. We are, this is episode 201. And so maybe we'll end up getting to 400. Got a good double up, right? So thanks again for all of you listeners. We do this for you. And until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.